is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. So last week, when I was preparing last week's sermon, he asked me to put this week's sermon as God is love. But we have a whole Bible that teaches us about God and his love, the revelation of God and who he is and who we are in him. But we see in this day and age, there are so many people that need this revelation of love. Most people can't love others because they can't love themselves. And that was unfortunately very prevalent this week. We saw that. What the enemy comes to do, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't matter the age, social status. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. But too many people fall victim to this device the enemy uses. And they turn from God. But there's hope if you will turn to God, to the salvation that Jesus has provided us. And you can live in a life that doesn't consist of the assault of these torturing spirits called regret and shame. Today I want to discuss how we set ourselves free. But first I want to talk to you about God and his love. John 10:10, which I just quoted part of it, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But God says, I have come," Jesus is teaching this, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." That means above, more, exceedingly, very highly and beyond. Notice the contrast in the two. The enemy is a thief. He steals, he kills, he destroys. But Jesus was the giver of life. And not just life, but abundant life. Now, you all can take that in the monetary situation if you want, but I have found when you have money, you don't always have peace. When you have money, you don't always have joy. When you have money, when you have cars and things, there's something more to abundant life than monetary things or natural things. Yeah, they're great to have, but I'm telling you, some things come with a price. The enemy has one plan and one plan only. It is evident in this verse. But God has revealed this plan to us so that we can see it, we can recognize it, and we can be victorious over it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He didn't leave us alone once he finished the work, though. He sent Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to guide us into all truth, to speak what he hears, and to reveal what we need when we need it. We are called into the beloved, and I like to say the beloved. 1 John 4:19, the Message version says, "We, though, are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first." That's the Message version of that. King James says, "We love him because he first loved us." But notice that love and be loved. We sometimes have an easy time doing the first part, but we don't have an easy time doing the second parts. And those is where the enemy has a stronghold in your life of regret, guilt, and shame. Because you can't be loved. It's like you've always got to put out and be, you know, doing this and doing that. And that is godly to do that. But when you can't love yourself, that is not of God. Because he loved you with great love. And he valued you so much that Jesus came and died a horrible death. He lived, died, and resurrected for you. In the New Testament, the beloved, the word beloved, it describes dearly loved. Or since significantly a deep affection and divinely, it's a chosen status from God. Beloved. You will see Jesus is referred to as beloved by the Father, I think. If God has divinely chosen us and poured out his love upon us and in us, why would I not love myself? Am I perfect? No. Does my God know that? Yes. He sees everything. There's nothing hidden. There are things that are said and done in here and here that nobody else knows but God. Some of the reasons why you're so divinely chosen. Genesis 1 and 27 says that you are made in His image. Isn't that wonderful? We are made in the image of God. Yes. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says that you were known before you were formed in the womb. He knew you. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I knew you before. And of course, I love, you know, David talks about being created in my innermost parts. He says, God, know me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way David described it in Psalms. Even got your days written out. That's how important you are to him. He's got this beautiful life laid out for you, if you will accept it. It's beautiful. We are called as those chosen people to walk in his love for ourselves and for others. Now, I'm talking about a love that's within the boundaries of God, not a self-centered love that the world has. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, New King James. The word walk here means to tread around, all around. And it also said that this walk is a large, especially as proof of ability. To walk in means to be successful in. To win in. And it says the walk is at large. The walk is at large, meaning it's proof of the ability to do so. Something at large means something that is free and not yet caught. Some of us were criminals at large, weren't we? We know what it means to be at large. It means we are free. We are free. To be able to walk in love towards others, we must first be loved. This verse, as well as many others, shows us how valuable you are to God, made in his image, known before you were known here, put together by his hands, knitted together, the Bible says. This talks of a relationship with God. This is love, despite the sin. Why then should we allow our failures or our mistakes to keep us separated from him? Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest, great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love others as yourself? You got to love yourself first, don't you? Do you have the love of God within you? His love is our provision. When we allow the accusations of the enemy to rule in our minds and overtake our hearts, we live contrary to God's provision for us. He gave us his love. How do you think he feels when we take it and make it something less than what it is? Or dismiss it altogether. Romans 5, 6 through 8, ESV says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You didn't have to be godly for him to come. He loved you yet, even then. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can't earn it. You can't earn it. He did it before. He did it because he loved you. God's love is not based on your accomplishments or the opinions that others have about you. God, that is so freeing. It is based on him, and he does not simply love, he is love. It's only based on him. When we have the assurance we are loved by God, we can love others, we can love ourselves, and then others. Too often, regret and shame separates us from God and people. With God, we withdraw from him. We fear comes to live within our hearts and our minds, and the pain of regret and shame becomes so great that we shun time with God. And with people, we tend to take anything but a loving attitude because of the shame that we bear. We withdraw from God, his will, his purpose, and from those he has sent in our path to help. By being an example of his mighty work, his grace, his mercy, and his love. That's your calling. To be the example of Christ that died on a cross. Even though we were sinners. Even though he knew that some of us wouldn't even choose him. He did it anyways. Last week I talked about Paul. And he set forth what I saw as a protocol that we should accept in Paul's life to Timothy. He wrote in 1 Timothy 1. He said, "Unto Timothy, my son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus our Lord." I believe Paul knew a little something about that in his own personal life. Grace, mercy, and peace. Do you remember Paul? He was accuser and the murderer of the brethren. But on the road to Damascus, in the dirt, he found Jesus. Or should I say Jesus found him. And his life was completely, radically changed from that time forward. He was no longer the person he was before. And that's us. That's the way it works for us. Now, I'm not saying he didn't spend time learning Jesus. He did. You all have been talking about some of this last week. This whole thing's been confirmation for me. He spent 3 days with scales on his eyes, blind, at the street called Straight. But the brother went to him and prayed as God had instructed. And then he spent time learning about the God that he had been persecuting. I think that once we grasp this mindset, freedom will be ours. Freedom from shame. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from ridicule. Freedom from it all. How do we apply grace, mercy, and peace? Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor from God, freely given to humanity. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. Holy and without blame in his love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not yours, his will. That's what he desires. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted into the beloved, the beloved. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The word salvation is defined as the act of being delivered, redeemed, or rescued. The word salvation is a gift freely given by God for our acceptance. What's the next thing? Once you receive this grace, that's salvation, mercy is the next thing you would get. In the Bible, mercy is defined as God's compassionate and forgiving nature, particularly in withholding deserved punishments from those who have sinned. It is an act of grace where God chose to show kindness and love rather than strict justice. Mercy is also a quality that Christians are called to emulate, extending compassion and forgiveness to others. Titus 3, 1 through 7, New Living Translation says, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient always, ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone, must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, given us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, there's that word again, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Because of His mercy, I didn't get what I deserved. Luke 6 and 36 says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Because of His mercy, we have the right in any time to ask for His mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, Father, I messed up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's that scripture that says I can go boldly before the throne room of grace and ask for mercy and obtain it. I just don't have to ask. I will be given it. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. With grace, with mercy, comes something that people pay lots of money for and they can't obtain. Even if they get it, it's just a temporal. A lot of the addicts are looking for peace, but their addiction is just killing them. People are going to doctors and psychologists and spiritualists and witches, and they're looking for answers and for peace. But they can't find it. Do you know why? Because it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come through your flesh. It doesn't come through another man or another woman. It comes from God. It comes from His love and only Him. It's peace, grace, mercy, and then peace. These are all ours when we accept His salvation, accept His forgiveness, and then we can walk in peace. In the Bible, peace is more than a mere absence of conflict. Oh no, you're going to have conflict. It is a state of shalom, that's a Hebrew word, which signifies wholeness, completion, well-being, and flourishing. Shalom. John 16 and 33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. That's the only way you can get it. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16 says, Now may the Lord of peace, that's what He's called, the Lord of peace, Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Isaiah 26 says, he keeps in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you know when you allow the enemy to come in and make accusations about things that are covered under the blood, not only are you operating in sin to think that God was a liar, that he can't forgive you for that he can't give you the peace for that? That is a lie. And the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he's speaking a lie to you. And when you accept it and doubt it, doubt what God has done for you, you have just questioned God Almighty and called him a liar. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's John 14 and 27. That was Jesus. He left us the peace. Comes with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3 and 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace abounds as us when we grasp the understanding, grace, and mercy we have in God through Jesus. This peace is not of the world, but is the peace Jesus lived, died, and resurrected for you and I to have. Set yourself free from the bondage of shame. It's a bondage that you gave up when you accepted Jesus. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to regret. Don't go back to guilt. Don't allow those things to have a home in your heart and your mind. It's a torturing spirit. Galatians 5 tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That applies to any bondage. And we know John 8 says, well, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? Paul says, I'm the chief sinner, 1 Timothy 1 and 15. I think I was in that class. I think I graduated with Paul to a certain extent. Now, just because Paul's sin doesn't look like your sin, does it make it a difference? No, it's all sin. Gossip is sin. Lying is sin. Murder is sin. The Bible has a list of things that won't inherit the kingdom of God. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, this is Paul's formula. And they preached about it all week, last week and this week. It says, now that I have already obtained or am already perfected, not that I am already obtained or perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of me. You know, he laid hold of you. Isn't that wonderful? And he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you notice what he did? He forgets the past. Do you remember? I'm a new creation. There is no condemnation in a child of God. That's scripture. You've got to let it go. When the enemy brings it back, you've got to take it captive to the word of God. What does the word of God say? I talked about it in the taking a knee in the devotion this week. A lot of times we'll take the enemy's insults again and again and again, and you find yourself on your knees. And instead of praying and using the word of God, we just keep taking it and wonder why we can't defeat the enemies, because we don't open our mouth and use the sword, which is the word of God. Keeping our minds on the goal. He says, I forget it. Don't be sidetracked by your past. You know how it is when you're driving on the road and you look at something over here, where does the wheel usually go? Right where you're looking. It's the same thing in the spiritual. What are you focusing on? Forget the past. Keep your minds on the forward. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back, didn't she? Never looked back. Not good. reaching forward. That's the next thing he did, is I reach. He's continually reaching forward to what is in front of me. Keep your mind on the prize, as we would say, to obtain a degree. In any field, you have to meet certain criteria. You have to go to school. You have to complete that curriculum. You have to meet sometimes internships. And then you have to sometimes go in and take a test for your degree. And you're worried about your testing. It is the same to be successful in this life. You're going to have testing. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptings. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Get off your knees. Use the word of God. And don't keep thinking about it. Just put it out of your mind and put the word of God in. Keep reaching forward. Hebrews 12:1 says, we're strip off every weight that slows us down and easily trips us up. If there's something in your life that is slowing you down and tripping you up, it is time to release it. Cut it off if you have to. Use the sword of the word of God, the word of God. I love Timothy. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. That comes with shame, regret, guilt, fear comes. He says, but I gave you power and love and a sound mind. You can have, and you do have, the right to a sound mind. Do not allow the enemy to keep attacking you with shame. It's forgiven. God said, I forgot it. Why do you keep bringing it up to me? One time I kept dealing with this, and I kept going to God with it. And one time he told me, he says, why do you keep bringing it up to me? I forgot it. But you keep bringing it to me, Sonia. Learn to forgive yourself. That's a trick of the enemy. John, 1 John 4 says, love has no fear. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, it says, and all who live in love live in God. Did you see that? If you don't live in love, live for yourself, love for others, you don't live in God. That's why the enemy can creep in and take you hostage. And as we live in love, our love grows and is more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. Message Virgin says, my dear children, let us not talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living, truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. I don't care if you're guilty. For God is greater than our worried hearts, and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command to believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him. And he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us by the Spirit he gave us. So, ask for forgiveness if it's not already covered. And then forgive yourself. Because it's ungodly to ask for one and not the other. And not apply the other one. Jesus says, you know, the Bible says we'll confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Believe in your heart God loves you. This is believing in Christ Jesus and what he did. It's all true. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Believe in him. And then apply the word to the lie, the enemy, is about the situation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. No new condemnation for those who belong to Christ. That means who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You've got to believe and apply the word of God. And then you've got to love others. A second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But you got to love yourself too. Isaiah 61 and 7, it says, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Double portion for your shame. Isaiah 61 says, give me your ashes. Give me your mourning. Give me your spirit of heaviness. And let me give you a double portion for all your shame. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 19, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. How much do you love your soul? How much do you love yourself? God loved you so much. We disrespect him and sin against him when we can't love ourselves and forgive ourselves and allow the enemy to come and torture us with guilt, shame. It is not godly for a child of God to walk around with that. You are set free. So let's invoke our right as a child of God and tell shame, guilt. I don't care if you're, even if you're guilty, it says. It don't matter. You're now his child. And he loves you unconditionally. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you that you teach us how to be more like you. Now let us go out, Lord, and take this word. Let us live it, Lord Jesus, so that others can find your grace, your mercy, and have peace, your peace. Let us be your examples, Lord. Let us always look with a kind heart and loving words, but not just in action, Lord. Not just in words, but let it be who we are. Because you, God, are love. We should be too. Amen.